Good Thursday afternoon to you, my friends. This is Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas, in the West Irwin Church of Christ. Glad to have you joining along today on this warm and muggy day in Northeast Texas. We're likely to get some rain in a little bit. Had a lot a while back and expected more yesterday, last night, but didn't get as much. So I hope that wherever you are, the weather is cooperating with your plans. I know it's a Memorial Day weekend this weekend, and so we remember our wonderful veterans and especially those families of our veterans who gave their lives. And we appreciate law enforcement. We appreciate our armed forces, our military, all of our leaders, and pray for them just as Scripture instructs us to do. Today, we are continuing our study through the book of Proverbs as we go through F. Ligard Smith's The Daily Bible in Chronological Order. Proverbs is a pretty long book and not nearly as long as the Psalms that we just finished, but pretty long. And in it, there are lots and lots of very practical, common sense, down-to-earth words of wisdom. As we have said, the Proverbs are short, pithy, sentences, kind of like talking to your grandfather who will not beat around the bush. He'll just get right to it. And that's what the book of Proverbs does. And we began this study over the last lesson or two, and we have another lesson or two left. And next week we'll finish up Proverbs and look at Song of Songs or Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite studies. But as we get going, hello to my cousin Gail. Nice to see you and Keith joining along. Always glad to see your name there and know that y'all are wonderful supporters and encouragers, as are my dear friends, Cindy and Eric Mosley. Always great to see your names pop up. I know we have a lot more that watch these, or at least watch a little bit of them, and don't necessarily send a comment or a response, and that's A-okay. Just glad that you're joining in, and hopefully these are helpful studies. And this study through the book of Proverbs is a great study indeed. If you're following along, we're going to be beginning today in the May 19th reading. And the way F. Ligard Smith does the Proverbs is he has them separated off by topic, which I think is a good idea. And when I go through the book, I have topical studies throughout the book of Proverbs as well, try to collect them in under those certain themes. And that's what he does as well. And the theme today begins with motive and the heart. One of the consistent things that you've found, I hope, as we've gone through these studies, is that there's a lot about the heart in the Old Testament. Maybe that's a surprise to you, maybe not, but we think of the heart being New Testament stuff and the externals being the Old Testament stuff, and that's just not true. Both Testaments, Old and New, are concerned about how we live our lives and following those external commands, but both are also very concerned with motivation coming from the heart and a wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And that's what we find here beginning in this study on May 19th readings. And we'll go for a few days and then we'll quit around 3:30-ish or so today, Central Time, if you're following along live. So Proverbs 16, verse 2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. We saw a similar passage earlier that said every person's ways seem right to them, but the Lord is the one to whom you should go to for guidance on how to live. And that's what the book of Proverbs does. Motives are weighed by the Lord, and those are important things. Proverbs 17, verse 3, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. You're talking about purity, right? And value. If you want to know the purity of silver or the purity of gold, then that's the way you test them. But the Lord is the source for testing the heart. Proverbs 21, verse 2, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. Again, that's something that we on the outside in our human frailty and limitations cannot necessarily judge what the heart is. And so we need to be very careful about that. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. He said that you can judge a tree and tell what kind of tree it is by its fruit, and same with a person's life. But we also realize that those are not 100%, and the Lord has that view. And I think, as you've heard me say many times, we let the Lord do the Lord's work and we do ours. Bill has come to believe two things about God, that he exists and that I'm not him. And that means that I'm going to have trouble judging the motives of someone's heart. I can judge it to an extent, and I think sometimes we have to. Making decisions about whether to go into business with someone, whether to be best friends with someone, certainly a life partner, whether to ask someone to be our wife or to choose someone to be our husband. Those are judgments that we have to make, certainly so. But ultimately, it's the Lord that judges the heart and the motives. Proverbs 21, verse 3, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Sounding very much like Hosea 6, 6, to obey is better than to sacrifice, to heed better than the fat of rams, or at least that's what Samuel told Saul when he was king. Jesus quoting from Hosea 6, verse 6, saying, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so much of the Old Testament calls us to do the things that are right and just, and not just offer up our public worship in the Old Testament, animal sacrifices in the New Testament, going to church or doing those kinds of things, singing his praises, studying the Bible like we're doing right now. Those are all wonderful things, and we're called to do them, but they're not a substitute for doing what is right and doing what is just. And that's what Proverbs 21, verse 3 says specifically. Chapter 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. I love that word integrity. Someone has said you want to know the definition of integrity or character. It's what you do when you know no one will ever find out. And I think that's a good definition. The integrity of the upright guides them. Whether you're going to be seen or noticed or not, you do what is right. That's integrity. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Chapter 20, verse 14 is a fun one. It says, in a quote, it's no good, it's no good, says the buyer. Then goes off and boasts about the purchase. Some things haven't changed, right? If you like to do that negotiating and bargaining and haggling over things, so when you make that purchase and you walk away, it would appear that you're thinking, oh, this isn't a good deal at all. But then you walk away and brag about your skills. That was something that was going on in the days of King Solomon, as well as today. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. As we have said before, that's not true every single time. It's generally true and likely going to happen. But we also know there are exceptions. These are proverbial statements, remember. But mostly, that's the result, and this is the best way to live. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Chapter 16, verse 6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. We spoke about the fear of the Lord last time. And Proverbs has a lot to say about that, that high and holy reverence for God that carries over into how we live. And that's what this passage says. It's one of those that helps us to understand what it means to fear the Lord. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. So the fear of the Lord, if we have that godly reverence and righteous fear of God, worshipful attitude towards him, then we will avoid evil. And when we fall, love and faithfulness is what brings about that atonement. Proverbs 16, verse 6. This great verse in chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Contrast in the proverb, again, as we have said, that's the way the style is written. Sometimes it's a parallel way of saying something, but in a different way. In this case, it's opposites. Hatred stirs up conflict. True. But love covers over all wrongs. That's that great, wonderful biblical love that the New Testament Greek word agape, we would say. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Proverbs 10, verse 12. What a great, great verse. Chapter 17, verse 5. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. And we're a little surprised by this. This is how we would expect it to read. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for the poor. But that's not what it says. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. We think of Jesus' words in that parable in Matthew 25 talking about what we do or don't do for the least of these that we see and encounter, we do or don't do for the Lord himself. Proverbs 17, verse 5 again, whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Chapter 25, verses 21 and 22, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Paul will say something very similar and look back on these words in Romans chapter 12 as he speaks about overcoming evil with good and not returning evil for evil. And that's the source of this passage is the source of those statements. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Well, our enemies, we'd rather dump a bucket of burning coals on their head sometimes. And certainly we saw that feeling in the Psalms as well at times. But the right way to handle that is to turn it loose and let God take care of it. We think of Jesus on the cross. And I love the statement in 1 Peter 2, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So Jesus didn't worry about trying to get even with those people that were screaming for his blood or the soldiers that were hammering those nails into his arms, into his hands and his feet. He was willing to let the Father take care of everything. When he prayed, into your hands I commit my spirit, I think that he was committing everything to the Father. And so the Lord will take care of all of that. And he will reward us if we turn that over to him. Again, that's God's job, not ours. Proverbs 11, verses 16 and 17. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Now they will gain wealth. That's the implication there, but that's all they'll gain. A kind-hearted woman gains honor. Ruthless men gain only wealth. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. Sometimes we don't see that right away, but ultimately that's exactly what happens. It's best to be kind. Best to be kind, and that will benefit ourselves and those around us. Chapter 16, verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And then this verse, verses 18 and 19 that I mentioned earlier in a post, Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The writer of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle, would later mention something like this as he warns us in chapter 10, if anyone thinks they're standing, be careful that you don't fall. The way the Proverbs puts it, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Ultimately, God will bring you down. The song that is taken from Scripture also, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. A great passage of Scripture from the New Testament. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 9, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Well, the answer to that is no one. Romans 3:23 puts it this way, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. It doesn't give us permission to sin. It doesn't justify our sinfulness. It's just to say that's something we share in common with every other human being except one, Jesus of Nazareth. And what a blessing that is. Chapter 22, verse 4, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Not just riches, but riches and honor and life. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Again, we ask, what does it mean to fear the Lord, Bill? Well, it means to be humble. Have a humble heart. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Chapter 27, verse 2, I love the way this is stated. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. We might say, don't toot your own horn. I love the little joke, one-liner joke that says, they gave me a medal for humility and they took it away when I wore it. I love that little statement. That's what Proverbs 27 verse 2 is saying. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Great statement. Chapter 14 verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. For sure. A heart at peace, if you're content, you have peace, but envy rots the bones. For sure. Now we turn to the reading that starts on May 20th, and it's the theme of self-control, which is a big, huge theme in the book of Proverbs and in the New Testament as well. One of the fruits, part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is self-control. Proverbs 25, verse 28, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Whew, powerful way of stating that. Chapter 14, verse 16, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. What a tragedy to have that attitude of being hot-headed and losing your temper, and you say, oh, Bill, that's just the way God made me. Well, God may have made you in such a way that that's one of your temptations that Satan tries to take advantage of, but that doesn't justify it. Doesn't justify it at all. Sin is never justified. We are called upon to try to learn that self-control. I realize that for some it comes easier than for others, but very likely they have some issues that they struggle with that maybe you don't. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. Proverbs 14, verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 32. Again, I love this one. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Oh yeah, the one who takes the city will get all the headlines, but then it'll pass. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes the city. The wise man knew. He saw both. He was around both. His father, King David, was a warrior. He was one who had taken a lot of cities. Solomon himself, again, maintained a lot of victories for Israel. But he knew, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Proverbs, let's find that one. Proverbs 16, verse 32. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Something very similar. Chapter 29, verse 22. Chapter 19, verse 19. A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you'll have to do it again. Again, that's that common sense wisdom. You know, until you let them pay the consequences of their actions, you're probably going to have to keep rescuing them, and that's called enabling. Sometimes it's the right thing to do to help and to save and to rescue, but sometimes it's good to have natural consequences. Jerry and Lynn Jones, as they talk about parenting, tell parents, you know, it's if they're in danger, you obviously need to save your child, but if it's possible, let their punishment be the consequences of their own bad behavior and choices. I think there's a lot of wisdom there. Proverbs 23, around verse 29 or 30, do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. You know, if only Satan told us that Alcohol will lead to destroying your family, destroying your job, losing your financial resources, losing your self-esteem, losing your friendships. If only that's what it said, and that's what this passage is talking about. And again, it's in that self-control topic. Don't look at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. Oh, yeah, that's the great part. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. And it's best to stay away from it. Best to stay away from it completely. I have a lot of alcoholism in my family. My family members that are watching this know that because my father suffered with it, my uncles, my cousins, my aunts. I mean, it's everywhere in my genogram on both sides, the Allen side and the Addison side. And that's why I stay away from it 100%. And I think it's wise for everyone to do that. It's not like there's nothing else to drink. Come on, go down the aisle of the grocery store and take a look at all the options you have without going on that alcohol aisle. There's no excuse. It leaves too much destruction in its wake. Find something else to drink, my friend. He goes from alcoholism and drunkenness to adultery. And Proverbs 5 is one of those extended themes. We don't get that very often, but we get it here. In Proverbs 5, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly. But she does not know it. Again, this is not just for men warning them against women, but it's for all warning against the temptation of adultery, sexual immorality. Chapter 5 continues in verse 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel. Draw the line a lot sooner than just having sex. Draw the line a long time before that. And whether it's pornography or an adulterous affair, an emotional affair that could lead to that, any of those things is sin. And I call on you to heed the wise man from Proverbs who says, stay far away from it. It's spoken very familiar in these words in chapter 5, skipping down a little bit more in verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. That's what the wise man in Proverbs says. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Later on, it says in chapter 5, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. I realize that not everybody has that blessing. And for some, the decisions they've made in the past or someone else made has caused you to not be able to have that blessing of rejoicing in the wife or husband of your youth. And I feel for you, my friend. I am grateful that God has blessed me with a wonderful, wonderful, godly, strong woman. Joyce Long, who was a flute player and then a twirler, a majorette in the band at Dwight Junior High and South San Antonio High School back in the days, and then after our second year of college at Oklahoma Christian, we were married. And now that's been almost 47 years ago. It'll be 47. No, it just turned 47 years on May the 7th. It is a great, great blessing to rejoice in the wife of my youth. She is still very special to me, and in many ways, such a more mature and better and well-rounded person than I am. We really complement each other, I believe, and that's been part of our blessing. Plus, we make each other laugh. And Joyce would tell you that is the secret to a long marriage, is being friends first and also being able to make each other laugh. Thankfully, we still are both of those things. Keep going, Bill. Everybody doesn't want to hear about you. Can a man scoop fire into his lap? Proverbs 6 asks. without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. There's a lot in chapters 5 and 6 of Proverbs warning against adultery. Basically, this is saying you play with fire, you're going to get burned, and it's not going to be pretty. A man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 6, and so very true. Let's see, we keep on going in Proverbs, and Proverbs 6 or Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For an adulterous woman is a deep pit, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Like a bandit, she lies in wait and multiplies the unfaithful among men. Best to stay away from that. Best to stay away from sexual immorality and adultery. Number one, it's a sin. It's against the will of God. But there's also other reasons. As the wise man in Proverbs comes out and says, it's going to make your life much more difficult. And the 21st reading, and we've got a little bit of time still, so we'll keep going. There's a lot in Proverbs about controlling your tongue, about your words and what you say. One of the things that Jesus said is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, how do you know what's in your heart? Well, what comes out of your mouth? What's your language like? Do you tell the truth? Do you build others up? All of those kinds of things. Well, the wise man in Proverbs has much to say about controlling your tongue. And the parallel book in the New Testament, the book of James, shorter version, very practical, very common sense instructions in the book of James, has much to say about controlling your language as well. Proverbs 14, verse 3, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Verse 2 of chapter 15, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Chapter 16, verse 23, the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. Chapter 23, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. And so again, the parallel language of this genre of wisdom literature. What does it mean to have your heart wise? Well, it means when your lips speak what is right, when you tell the truth and speak the truth. Chapter 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. I think, what is the saying? Be sure brain is engaged before putting mouth in gear. Proverbs 15, verse 28, again, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Sometimes it's good to count to 3 or 10 or 1,000. Chapter 27, verse 14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Don't you love that verse? This is one of those that I can never find when I want to, but it's Proverbs 27, verse 14. If you're around somebody in the morning and they're talking real loud, and maybe they're a morning person like me, I've tried to learn to control this because not everybody is a morning person. And the writer of Proverbs understood that. Mark this one, Proverbs 27, verse 14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Even if you're commending them, it doesn't come out that way because they're not ready to hear loud talk and obnoxious behavior early in the morning. I love that, Proverbs 27. Verse 14. Here's a great one for our civil leaders in chapter 25, verse 11. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. That's pretty good. Chapter 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. This verse, chapter 17, verse 28, is another one of those I really, really love. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Sometimes when we open our mouth and try to say something, we all of a sudden are the everyone knows how foolish we are, rather than wise. But even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Chapter 17, verse 28. It reminds me of Brother Daryl Flint in Lackland Terrace Church of Christ in Arlington, Texas. I saw his son Nathan Flint at Leadership Training for Christ this year in Dallas, LTC. And his father, one of the great Bible teachers I still have ever known. He's was a wonderful school teacher, a principal of a high school in San Antonio. But when he was in Bible class, I would be teaching the auditorium class, and he would be sitting there in class, one of my elders, and man I dearly loved and respected. And he would just keep quiet, and there would be a lot of discussion. I would be saying a lot, others would chime in. But when he raised his hand and when he gave a thought, it was gold. I mean, he could condense that. It's one of those things when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. Do you remember those commercials? Well, that's the way Daryl was. And he was a wonderful man with great wisdom on how to live and knowledge of the Bible. And no one ever thought him a fool, but he kept silent for most of the time. And then when he shared his thoughts, like I said, they were gold, pure gold. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. My dear friend Bill Kashub and I in Arlington, we were very much opposites in personality and style of life, not really style of life, but personality style. We were both drummers. We both married way above ourselves. Wonderful Tony Kashub and wonderful Joyce Allen. We're stuck with Bill and Bill, Bill Kashub and Bill Allen. He was the one that kind of liked to stir the pot. And he would bring about some good discussion in Bible classes. I'm more aligned with this proverb in chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Bill was never harsh, and so I think we both followed this passage. But he was one that liked to kind of stir the pot a little bit. But the writer of Proverbs says this in chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let's see, chapter 16, verse 28. We go into gossip and slander. Proverbs has a lot to say about it. A perverse person stirs up conflict, chapter 16, verse 28, and a gossip separates close friends. Boy, you've lived that, haven't you? Because of something that someone said that hurt someone that was they considered a friend. We get it. Chapter 20, verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. You may not completely avoid them, but you might be guarded about what you say around them. Chapter 26, verse 20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Isn't that true? If some people would just stop talking about this and start talking to that person, rather than about them to someone else. That's called gossip. But Bill, what if it's true? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, you've got an issue with somebody, go to that person. If they don't take care of it, then take another person or two with you, but go to that person. That's the way it's supposed to go. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Great, great verse. Chapter 26, verse 21. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. We've got to be careful. We just need to remember that our words matter. Still on the subject of controlling our tongue is the subject of telling the truth versus lying. Proverbs 12, 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. And then chapter 17, verse 20, it tells us that those lies tell us something about our hearts. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. Again, that's that parallel, both statements saying virtually the same thing. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. Two different ways of saying the same thing. Proverbs 17, verse 20. Jesus said that if you're a liar, then Satan is your father, because he was a liar from the beginning and is the father of lies. Some of the strongest words you can imagine against lying versus telling the truth, Jesus in John chapter 8. Well, that takes us to May the 22nd, my friends, in the reading for May the 22nd. And so let's stop there. I realize we're a little beyond that, but we'll take up there next week and we'll continue our run through the book of Proverbs. And we'll look briefly at the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon and then get into Ecclesiastes, which is 12 or 13 chapters of wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom, but in a little bit of a surprising context. So I hope and pray that you have a wonderful weekend. Again, it's Memorial Day, so say a prayer for those who protect and serve, whether it's law enforcement or military, their families who are concerned for them, our civil leaders and political leaders, and not just here but around the world. It's a great time to remember and to remember the great blessings we have in Christ Jesus, and to remember that God has called us each to live lives of self-control, as we've read tonight, of purity of heart, humility of heart, as we've read today. And so I hope and pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend. God bless, and I'll see you on Sunday live streaming, or I'll see you next Tuesday.